Hi, Dan Sheridan. It's a pleasure once again spending time with you in the Word of God. We're going through the New Testament line by line, studying all of our favorite topics and seeking answers to all the tough questions that we have in the context and flow of the Word of God. And today we come to Romans chapter 16. We're going to finish the book today. And it just so happens to be November the 24th, 2016, Thanksgiving morning as I'm recording this. So this is something to be thankful for, to be able to finish this wonderful letter to the Romans. And then we'll move on to Corinthians next. But Romans 16 is a very unique chapter. It does something that you don't see very often in the scriptures, and that is giving a list of names. Now, we see plenty of genealogies in scripture. We have a couple in the New Testament, but we don't see a list like this very often. The only other time we see a list like this of names in this kind of context is with David's mighty men in the Old Testament. And the reason why the names are given in both Kings and Chronicles is because there, in those passages, God is giving us a list of the men who were faithful to David in the time of his suffering. When David took the throne, the people who were faithful to him during his during the time of his suffering were given positions of honor in David's government. And I think this is what we have here in Romans chapter 16, when first 24 verses, Paul lists these faithful people, both men and women, who honored God and were honoring God in the blade stage of the kingdom. The kingdom of God wasn't fully manifested yet. That will come in the future. But in a time of suffering, they were being faithful. And he lists these people here in the first 24 verses. Now, another thing I want to make a comment real quick. This whole chapter should be considered as one whole. Some try to divorce verses 25 through 27 from the rest of this chapter. I think it flows perfectly in with the rest, with the first 24 verses. In other words, in verses 25 to 27, we're going to be told that to be involved in God's future operations requires a measure of faithfulness now. The verse 24 verses list the people who were faithful. And verses 25 through 27 encourage the faithful, showing them that, hey, You're doing your job now, and there's coming a time when God will flow out and you'll have a position in God's coming government. Just like David's mighty men were faithful to David in his time of suffering, you here in Romans who were faithful to God during this time will have positions in that future day. Well, I don't want to get too much into the details now. I just want to stress the point that this chapter should be considered as a whole, and verses 25 through 27 should not be detached. I think the idea of Romans 16, we can find a very similar idea in Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 18, where we learned about the cursed fig tree. Why did the Lord Jesus curse the fig tree? And if you remember from our studies back then, the idea was that God was expecting fruit before the time of the rain, before the time when God will flow out in his kingdom. He was expecting people to bear fruit out of season. And that's what we have here in Romans 16. So when you get a chance, you can go back and listen to my comments on Matthew 21, starting with verse 18, with regards to the cursed fig tree. All right, let's begin in verse 1. Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant, and that's that word for deacon, by the way, of the outcalled, which is in Centria. So here is a woman. The first person mentioned that Paul commends is Phoebe, and some have suggested that Phoebe was carrying this letter to the Romans. She had quite a responsibility, and it's interesting, she was a traveling woman, probably on business, and she was a deacon of the outcalled, which is in Centuria. That means she knew something probably about business and about economics, and she was very useful in those areas. I want you to notice that the teachings of Scripture exalt the woman. They exalt her to a place of high honor. She's not just a plaything in Scripture. She's treated with high honor and high respect, and gives her a dignity. And so Proverbs 31 woman was a very busy woman who was involved in business and life and so forth, and she was in no way less capable than a man. And here we have a woman who had this position here in Romans 16, verse 1. And then he says, I commend unto you, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, or the outcalled, which is in Centuria, that you receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a helper of many, and also of myself. So that's all we know about her, but whatever these words tell us, that she was a remarkable woman. a very remarkable woman that the outcalled were to submit to and to assist her because she had very important work to do. And here's another woman, greet Priscilla and Aquila. This is a husband and wife team, and the woman comes first here. Priscilla comes first over Aquila. She says, he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Just a quick comment here. You're going to see in these first 13 verses the phrase in the Lord, or in Christ Jesus, or in Christ. And I just want you to note them. I'm not going to make too much comment, but when you think of lordship, you think of submission, and when you think of Christ, you think of service. And so I'm not going to make too many comments here, but Paul uses these phrases intermittently throughout this section here, so it's important to notice. And I have no further comment on that. I'm just pointing it out because I don't have any additional light on what to say about these things, but we'll just make comments as we go. But I just wanted to point that out. I actually highlighted those terms in my Bible, like here in verse 2 where it says that you receive her in the Lord, and then in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. I highlighted in Christ Jesus. Okay, so greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. And we read about them in 2 Timothy 4. These were faithful companions of Paul to the very end. Just like David's mighty men, they were faithful through good times and bad. So they are definitely worth mentioning here. And then it says, verse 4, who for my own soul laid down their own necks. That word life is soul, literally soul. So they laid down their, for Paul's soul, for Paul's comfort, they laid down their own necks. In other words, they were willing to go, give the last measure of full devotion just to give Paul some ease. That's the kind of people they were. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the outcalled of the nations. And so everyone owed them a debt of gratitude for their work. And then it says, verse 5, likewise greet the outcalled that is in their house. So these people who are members of the outcalled, who had a position out of God, met in their house. And notice back then they didn't have any, quote, church buildings. Calling a building a church is one of the greatest disservices to the truth of God. It has caused all kinds of bad ideas, and everyone thinks that they're part of something called a church. It's my church, your church, so on and so forth, and we've talked about this before. But all this stuff came out of the first, second, third centuries, where the truth of God was turned into a ceremonial mess, where Jesus Christ was turned into a religion mixed with all kinds of pagan ideas. But we don't have religion. I don't have one trace of religion. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and so are you. That means we have no religion. We have Christ. We don't need religion. All right, likewise, greet the outcall that is in their house. So they didn't need anything special. When they got together, he says, salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ, or the beginning one of Achaia unto Christ. One more comment real quick about this meeting in the house. And I know, for those of you who know me, I used to be a pastor of a church, and it was one of the worst experiences of my life. Because I learned a great lesson when I took that quote job, before I was a pastor, we'd have Bible studies in our home. Our friends and we'd all get together and study scriptures. And there were nights we had 30, 35 people in our home, and we would just study the Word. And it was the best time of my life because we'd open the Word and we'd discuss it, and that was it. Once I got involved in the church, all that was gone, because then it became about church and services and this and that, and the Word of God took a far back seat, and then everyone looked to the, quote, pastor to give them all the information. It was a terrible thing, and I want nothing to do with it, and I want nothing to do with that kind of situation. I think it takes away from the Word of God. So anyway, they met in the house. All right, verse 6, greet Mary, here's another woman mentioned, who bestowed much labor on us. She was a very useful person and worked really hard. And then he says, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow captive, and I think that's figurative, he's a captive of Jesus Christ. Paul wasn't in prison when he wrote this. He's fellow captive, who are of note among the apostles, who were also in Christ before me. So these kinsmen of Paul, Andronicus and Junia, were in service before Paul was. That phrase, in Christ, we'll get to in more detail when we discuss 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think that's another phrase that's been greatly abused. Verse 8, greet Amplius, my beloved, in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Statius, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. So he's probably a faithful servant. He had a job, and he was approved. Salute them which are of Aristobulus's household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labored in the Lord. Salute beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. I like that touch there. His mother and mine. Maybe this woman was so loved by people that everyone called her mom. I know people like that in my life, and I'm sure you have, where a woman is just, everyone looks upon her as a mother figure, and that's what I think this is here. Rufus's mother was one of those tender women who everyone loved, and Paul would consider her a mom. And he says, verse 14, salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus, and Julia, Nereus, and his sister Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Sometimes these names are hard to pronounce. I remember as a young boy being in a group that was a youth group. And one youth leader came up with the idea that you'd take peanut butter and crackers and you stuff your mouth full of them and try to read one of the genealogies. It was a fun thing, and that just came to mind as I was reading those names. That would be something. Verse 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. That was how they greeted each other back then. And the outcalled of Christ salute you. So Paul, in the first 16 verses, is talking to giving greetings to the people in Rome. And then he says this in verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Now I want you to notice, you have to mark and avoid. So you mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. And I want to make a quick comment here. How do we apply this today? Because I want you to remember something. This is during the Acts period. Divine power is present, and these people heard directly from the Apostle Paul. They had apostolic authority there, and Paul can tell them, this is what you're going to do. If I say one thing and somebody else says another, you're to mark them and avoid them. And that's because that was apostolic authority. So how do we apply this today? Because you don't have apostolic authority, and neither do I, and neither does anybody that you know. Nobody has direct communication from God in that kind of authority to say that. See, you and I today, we have to mine out to figure out what Paul is saying. And sometimes we adjust because we don't have all the information right away. It takes time and patience. This is the time of God's outflowing grace, when God is being very patient. And so how do we apply this? And then my response is, it's impossible to. The only possible way we can apply this is if we have to deal with people who are just, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, the kind who are just so hard to get along with, and they cause nothing but trouble. But when it comes to doctrine today, we can't say mark those which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them, because we don't have apostolic authority. And he says in verse 18, for they which are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So this is, Paul is referring to those who are having a rebellion against apostolic authority. So those who came in to these Roman believers and brought something different than Paul brought, Paul is saying, avoid them. Mark them and avoid them, because they're serving not the Lord Jesus. And this is a fisher cut bait, because remember, when an apostle spoke, that was it. There was no questioning. When Paul spoke, you believed it or you didn't, because he confirmed the word with signs following. So this exhortation here has to be kept in the time of the Acts period, And to apply this today, you'd run into all kinds of difficulties because people are arrogant enough to think they have all the answers and that they can say, well, you should avoid that person because he doesn't teach like I do. You should avoid that person because he doesn't teach like my favorite Bible study magazine. So we can't apply this today like that. It's impossible. And then he says, verse 19, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. Now imagine that. See, when they were to mark and avoid someone, it was in direct obedience to the Apostle Paul, and as a result, direct obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and that's referring to apostolic authority. So to do what Paul is saying here was a direct obedience to Jesus Christ. And he says, I am glad therefore on your behalf, but I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning the evil. And then he says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly, or with speed. That's better rendering there. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So we can see here this is satanic activity working through rebels. And I have to be honest with you, with my background, I used to think I can identify Satan's work everywhere, but I can't say that today. There was one time where I would, if somebody didn't see the way thing, sees things the way I did, they say, well, that's because they're influenced by Satan or something like that. But that was bad. That was because the influences I was under back then thought they had some kind of apostolic authority. And so if I think I have apostolic authority, then anything that is opposed to what I believe is all of a sudden satanic. Well, we know the problems with that. We know the problems. It's not rightly dividing the word of truth. It's not seeing that in the Acts period there was power, divine power, and apostolic authority present. All right, verse 21. And I almost picture this here now as Paul is writing this. He's actually dictating this letter. As Paul is writing this, his buddies start walking into the room. So Timothy, it says, verse 20, Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I can imagine Paul sitting there dictating, and all of a sudden here walk in these men, and what are you doing, Paul? Well, I'm writing to the Romans. Well, you tell them we said hello, and that's what he did here. And then it says, verse 22, and I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. So here's Paul's, the man Paul's dictating. He says, you know, I'm going to throw my hello in there as well. And then in walks in Gaius. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole outcalled salute you. And Erasteth, the chamberlain, and that's the word for dispensation, by the way, the chamberlain of the city salutes you, and Quartus, a brother. So Erasteth was a politician. And he would take care of the city's money supply, so he knew something about economics. And by the way, all this knowing stuff about economics and law and government now is good training ground for the future, because in the future, beloved, we're going to be involved in God's government on this earth, and it's going to be a bona fide government dealing with nations, and there'll still be trade and stuff going on. Things will be a lot better than they are now, but it's good to know these things now, to learn them, because we'll be being used by God and his government. Remember, in the Old Testament, Joseph was faithful in Potiphar's house, and he was faithful in prison. What did he do in Potiphar's house in prison? He dealt with practical things, with money and trade and all that other stuff. And when Joseph was in his time of in prison, when he was in Potiphar's house, those experiences prepared him for the throne. When Joseph was finally exalted, he had experience in a house and in a prison, which was carried out over into the kingdom, and it helped Joseph govern wisely in Pharaoh's kingdom. So just a thought there. All right, and then he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So the first 24 verses are the mighty men, the faithful ones. And now we come to verse 25 to 27. I'm going to read it to you in a different translation. I don't like the way the King James has it here, but here's how it reads. Now to him that is able to make you solid. That's the word for established, to make you solid, a solid person, according to my correct message, my good message, which is the heralding of Jesus Christ, not preaching, but heralding, an official heralding from a commissioned one, and you and I aren't official heralds. Paul says, which is the good message, my correct message is the heralding of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of a secret. Remember, this word secret is used 27 times in the New Testament. It's not a mystery, it's a secret. And it always refers to truths previously hidden, and after they're revealed, they can be understood. It's nothing esoteric here. So Paul says, my correct message, which is the heralding of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of a secret, hushed from the times when God flows out. Some take this to mean before times aeonian, to refer to some time before Genesis 1-2. I was once of that number. In other words, they think they're looking back in the past. I'm not buying it any longer. Paul is referring to the future here. This message that Paul's proclaiming now is hushed from the times when God will flow out in the future, because it's a message to be believed now before God's government begins. God, because now is the time for it to be believed before he governs. Now is the day of, quote, salvation, not in the time when God governs. Now, people will be dealt with in the government of God, and they'll be corrected and so forth. But for believers today, we have a message to be believed now before that time. That's why God is the Savior of all mankind, especially of today's believers. See, we believe the message now. We're like David's mighty men who believe in David's future kingship before he's even on the throne. So he says here that, but now is made manifest. See, it's a secret which is hushed from the times when God flows out in the future, but it's now made manifest because, again, now is the time for it to be believed. And how is it made manifest? Both through prophetic scriptures as well as my heralding. This message is revealed both through the scriptures, the written scriptures, and Paul's heralding. And I believe it's referring to his letters, like Romans. And it's in accord with the command of the aeonian God, or the God who flows out, made known to all nations for faith obedience. To God only wise be the esteem through Jesus Christ in respect to that time when God flows out. Amen. So the point here of Romans 16:25-27 is you can't jump on the bandwagon after they win. It's like the Chicago Cubs here and won the World Series. And there were a lot of bandwagon fans, but you can't get on. You know, the fans were those who were fans for years. I like baseball. I've been a White Sox fan and here in Chicago my whole life. I was happy when the Cubs won, but I didn't get on the quote bandwagon. I wanted them to win, but it wasn't a victory for me because I didn't suffer all those years because the Cubs weren't my team. I wasn't there in the times during all their suffering, when all those fans were suffering all those years. But those fans who suffered all those years when the Cubs won, hey, they were rewarded with the World Series, and they enjoyed it. Some went to the parade, and they had a good time. But not for me, because I would have been a bandwagon, and God doesn't allow that in his government. You can't jump on the bandwagon after the team wins. And again, this is like the parable from the cursed fruit tree. It's about bearing fruit out of season. Now is a day of salvation. So to be involved in God's future operations, we need to be part of his campaign now by believing his message and ordering our lives accordingly. And so when Paul is saying here, once again, when Paul says that this message, this secret, this good message of Paul, his correct message, which he heralded, is hushed from the times when God flows out, but now is made manifest. In other words, this message will not be offered in the far future, but it's offered now. And it's to be believed now, before Christ takes his throne. We believe in Jesus Christ now. And in Ephesians chapter 1, our epistle for today, Paul says that we, and I'll just turn there real quick because it's the same thought with regards to this. Paul says here in Ephesians 1, that Paul, starting with verse 3, exalted be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who exalts us believers in every spiritual exaltation among the most elevated ones in Christ, according as he chooses us in him before the founding of his order, or the future system. In other words, God chooses us before the establishment of the order, that we may have a high place in that order. What is the order? It's his future government. So right now, we believers are elected because of our faith. We're like the president-elect who gets elected in November. However, we haven't been sworn in yet. The swearing-in takes place in January. So we are elected in grace, and one day we will be sworn into office. And in Romans 16, Paul lists in the first 24 verses those who were faithful, those who believed God and acted accordingly prior to the time when God flows out. They believed it, but what they believe and the message that's unique for them will be hushed when God flows out. It'll be a time when his government takes over, and those who believed prior to that will be given special places of service because they believed at a time when you really couldn't see it in its full glory. And so that's the whole point of Romans 16, 25 through 27. And I hope you see there's a connection there between the people who were faithful in the first 24 verses and their future rewards in that time of God's kingdom. All right, we'll stop there. That's all for the book of Romans. I trust you've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed teaching it, and I learn with you. And when we pick up next time, we'll start with 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the Corinthians. We're just going to keep marching right through the scriptures here in their context and flow. All right, this is Dan Sheridan. It's been a pleasure once again. Until next time, keep searching the scriptures to see whether these things be so.